Sir, you are this afternoon. You are the only one we have on the agenda, so we have a couple of important bills, and we would like to start the presentation. And you have an amendment for your 419, which is, I believe, the first bill that you want to present. And we are not going to move that until we get quorum, but we can begin with the presentation. So good afternoon, Senator.
Thank you, Madam Chair. For the record, my name is Greg Clausen. I'm a member of the Minnesota Senate, representing District 57, which is Apple Valley, Rosemont, Coates, and Northeast Lakeville. And thank you, Madam Chair and Committee, for hearing Senate File 419, which is a compensatory revenue for early childhood programs. We are here today to ask for your support for Senate File 419, a proposal to expand local school district compensatory spending control to prepare children and their families for kindergarten. There is an amendment, as Madam Chair mentioned. Basically, it was a typo in a date that was identified, and as I understand, we'll deal with that at a later time here today. Compensatory revenue is allocated to school districts and used to meet the educational needs of students whose progress toward meeting state and local performance standards is below the level that's appropriate for learners of their age. Compensatory revenue is based on individual building level concentrations of students eligible for free or reduced price meals. As the concentration of students eligible for free or reduced price meals increases, the compensatory revenue per eligible student also increases. Senate File 419 will allow local school districts to allocate compensatory funds for early childhood programs, parent training programs, school readiness programs, kindergarten programs for four-year-olds, and outreach efforts designed to prepare children for kindergarten. Senate File 419 is a cost-neutral proposal. We are not asking for additional funds, just greater flexibility in how those funds are to be used. And at this time, I'd like to present Scott Kroonquist. He's Executive Director of the Association of Metropolitan School Districts, Superintendent Randy Clegg from the Burnsville Public Schools, Tom Umhofer from Burnsville Public Schools. He's the Director of Community Education, and Vicki Roy. She's Chair of the Burnsville Community Literacy Committee, who will offer testimony in support of Senate File 419.
So welcome to the committee, and I don't know the order that you have, but just make sure that you say your name and the organization that you represent before you start your testimony for the record.
Okay. Thank you, Madam. We'll just flip a coin and we'll get started. good afternoon, Madam Chair, members of the committee, Senator Clausen. My name is Randall Clegg, and I am superintendent for the Burnsville Egan Savage School District. Today I'm here with my colleagues Vicki Roy and Tom Umhofer to encourage your support for Senate File 419, allowing basic skill revenues to be used for programs designed to prepare children for kindergarten and parent training. Over the past 10 years, the Burnsville Egan Savage School District has experienced dramatic demographic changes, as have many school districts in the state. Once with a school district with fewer than 20% of students qualifying for free and reduced price meals, today we are a school district proudly serving a racially, ethnically, and economically diverse population of students. Nearly 50% of our students identify themselves as non-white, and almost 50% of our students qualify for free and reduced price meals. 24% of our students speak a first language other than English. As a school district, we pride ourselves in our commitment to preparing all students to be career and college ready. Over the past several years, we have led the state of Minnesota in the number of credits students have earned through college in the schools. Over the past 2 years, we were one of 11 Minnesota school districts that have increased the number of minority students participating in advanced placement courses without decreasing the percentage of students scoring a 3 or higher on their AP exams. Over the past 2 years, we have expanded partnerships with Inver Hills Community College and Dakota County Technical College to provide the middle 50% of our students with the academic skills necessary to successfully transition to post-secondary institutions and take college credit-bearing courses. And finally, we're one of many Minnesota school districts that have implemented AVID, which is Advancement via Individual Determination, which targets students who could potentially be the first in their families to go to college, providing them with the organizational thinking skills necessary to achieve that goal. As much as we have expanded our efforts to prepare all of our students to be career and college ready, we're increasingly aware that the experience a child has at home before they even enter kindergarten has a tremendous impact on their academic performance throughout their schooling years. We know there's a significant correlation between parents reading to their children every day and the child's reading ability. Yet across this country, one in two parents does not read to their child daily, and one in 10 parents admit that they never read to their children. Besides reading to their children, parents can do many other things to help their children develop the skills necessary to achieve academically, such as sharing stories, guiding TV watching, taking trips, having books available, and setting high expectations. The more parents are engaged with their children in developing linguistic skills and print knowledge, the better prepared children are for the academic rigors of the 21st century. Decades of research show that when parents are involved in guiding their child's learning at home, students have higher grades, higher test scores, and higher graduation rates. School attendance is better, students have increased motivation to excel, and there are fewer disciplinary referrals. Increased family participation is also a powerful way to break the predictive factor of a family's social economic status on a child's school success. The more parents are involved at every level, including at home and at school, the better students achieve. Unfortunately, what we're learning is what the research literature confirms is that as much as parents want their children to be successful, many parents do not know how to help their children with their education. We believe with guidance and support, parents can and will become increasingly involved in home learning activities, creating opportunities to teach and guide their children. Minnesota Basic Skill Revenues provide school districts with the resources necessary to support children who are struggling academically. However, as the statute is currently written, there is no clear authority for school districts to use basic skill revenues in support of parent training programs and school readiness programs. The language revisions proposed in Senate File 419 doesn't ask for more money, but rather it seeks the authority to invest some of this revenue resource in a child's first teacher, their parents. At this time, I'll turn the presentation over to Vicki Roy, who will talk about efforts to create community advocacy around early literacy, and Tom Unhofer will then share information about programs that we are piloting in our school district focused on helping parents become their child's first teacher and strongest advocate. Vicki?
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Clay.
Thank you.
Mrs. Roy.
Yes. Madam Chair, members of the committee, my name is Vicki Roy. I'm a past school board member in the Burnsville-Egan Savage School District and in Intermediate School District 917, and I currently co-chair an early literacy committee that formed as a result of a series of community meetings that identified improving the third grade reading proficiency measure in our school district as an area for our community to work on together. Our focus is on working with families with children 0 to 5 to develop and implement strategies that promote and encourage literacy. I'm here today to encourage you to pass Senate File 419 to allow districts to use compensatory revenue for early education efforts and parental training, like the kind we've been working toward in ISD 191. Our committee has been working to make our community aware of the risks of children not entering kindergarten ready to learn and to seek out programs that will assure that we are providing the opportunities for all children to get the skills they need to be ready. We've been involved in programs that heighten the awareness of the importance of early literacy, like our participation in the National Read for the Record campaign for the last 2 years. We've enjoyed having state leaders like Commissioner Caselius, local legislators, mayors, and business people read a designated book. This year it was Ladybug Girl and the Bug Squad. Complete. They had their little bug squad antennae on to over 3,000 students in our schools and communities and to emphasize the importance of early literacy. We made connections with local for-profit and not-for-profit preschools and daycare providers, as well as friends, family, and neighbor providers, and invited them to participate in a three-part staff development workshop sponsored by our district's early childhood program and Concordia College. The sessions covered the Minnesota Early Learning Standards and using approaches to engage children in literacy. An average of 30 providers attended each of these sessions. So today, lessons taught at our preschools and child care facilities are more aligned throughout our community. We've worked with Fairview Ridges Hospital to introduce a program called Reach Out and Read, whereby doctors in all the Fairview clinics in Dakota County are giving a book to every child birth to age 5 who comes in for a checkup. Fairview Ridges Hospital is also providing books to families with babies in their neonatal intensive care unit. We are supporting programs for preschool children at Chancellor Manor and Dakota Station, two apartment complexes in our community that house many new Americans. These parents are enrolled in literacy classes where they are developing skills they can employ to help their children as well as themselves. The Burnsville Morning Rotary has begun reading regularly in our preschool classrooms. We are the recipients of many gently used children's books collected by Dave McDevitt's public affairs class at Burnsville High School, and we distributed them to families through our Ready for Kindergarten classes last spring. Last summer, we started our Rockin' Readers program at Nicollet Commons Park. Each Thursday, one of our elementary school principals reads to families for 20 minutes just prior to the city sponsoring Rockin' Lunch Hour concerts. They'll be returning again this summer for 10 weeks. We've had the pleasure of speaking to our local Rotary Club about the efforts, as well as to some regional leaders in early childhood education. We've met with our mayors, chamber executives, and several individual business people to introduce our Ready for Kindergarten program. And we'll be hosting an after-hours fundraiser for the program in mid-March. As a result of these efforts, I believe our communities now have a much better understanding of the importance of having children arrive at kindergarten with the skills so that they are ready to learn, and the programs that we can offer to make them happen. Again, I would encourage passage of this bill to allow us to use our compensatory funds to help assure our children do arrive at kindergarten prepared to be successful. Thank you very much. Tom.
Thank you, Vicki.
Thank you.
Thank you, Madam Chair, members of the committee. My name is Tom Umhofer. I'm the Community Education Director for the Burnsville Public Schools. Prior to coming to Burnsville in 2007, I spent 3 years in the Mankato Public Schools. We worked on very similar issues down in Mankato. 50% of our students, incoming kindergartners, not ready for their kindergarten experience. Once I arrived in Burnsville, the program we were working on in Mankato, I strove to bring some of those same energies up to Burnsville Public School and try and incorporate what we were seeing success-wise in Mankato into the Burnsville Public Schools. Over 50% of our kids in Burnsville, as Dr. Clegg alluded to, come to us not ready for kindergarten in one of a variety of different areas, whether it's social, emotional, motor, literacy, or math areas. There are multiple studies that show that children who drop out of high school, of those, half of them were behind before they even entered kindergarten classrooms, and many of those children never make up their achievement gap. And we also know that from research that by age 3, there's already a substantial achievement gap between economically disadvantaged and advantaged children in vocabulary and print concepts. It's also very common to find a kindergarten classroom with children at a 3-year-old level and an 8-year-old level. That's a 5-year gap in their level of readiness for kindergarten, and we're looking for ways to remedy that gap. The programs that we're looking at, the things that we need to do at Burnsville, we are identifying some must-haves in those programs. We need a program that will help us meet the needs of our culturally and economically diverse population. The program must be affordable and simple and easy to use. The program must have activities and curriculum that address early learning activities and, most importantly, parental involvement in those early learning activities. The program must be comprehensive, including areas that would address the social, emotional, motor, literacy, and skill-building concepts that we see the need for. The program that we've centered on and are struggling to work with is free to parents. It's brand new for us. We're in our second year of offering this program for parents. We have had 160 families of 4th and 5-year-olds go through it last year. Those are our incoming kindergartners and first graders this year. With the help of the District 191 staff and teachers, we're in the process of collecting the necessary data that we need to make sure that we're tracking the success of that program and of those students. And we have 125 new families enrolled this year. Looking ahead for us, data is our most important piece of the puzzle to make sure that the long-term success of this program shows its value and provides a quality and affordable opportunity for everyone in that program and for every family in our district to be successful. The Children's Reading Foundation has created a curriculum for parents to target readiness skills prior to entering kindergarten. The findings from their studies are showing considerable amounts of savings in remedial costs, and that's money that could be reinvested into the early years to help parents and incoming students. I would urge you to consider passing Senate File 419 to be able to help us allocate compensatory dollars to help provide the critical link in helping our families and students gain a solid start in their early years so they can be even more successful once they reach school. Thank you.
Thank you so much. Senator, I really appreciate your effort to do this. First, let the record reflect that we have a quorum so that we can continue to move forward. And before we start questions, Senator, I would like you to move your amendment so that you can put the bill in the shape that you need in order to move it forward.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Yes, I move that the amendment to Senate File 419 be accepted.
So this is the A13, correct? Senator, could you just say a little bit? I think there was a typo you were saying earlier. Could you explain what this, the A13 does? So it's the effective year. The effective year was not 2013, but it's the following year. So
that's correct. We had a typo in the original Senate file, and we needed to change the year from 2013 to 2014 for accuracy.
Any questions on that motion? If not, all of those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Those opposed say no. The amendment is adopted. I have a couple of questions and a comment, for the superintendent, Superintendent Clay. We are in the process of drafting some legislation. Senator Wicklund is the lead person on that effort to bring early childhood programs. It's one of the most important initiatives that the Senate will be pursuing this year, working with the early years and high school experiences, something that we want to definitely do this year and put some emphasis into. What we have found as we move forward with our conversation about early childhood education is that we have a number of programs that are managed by the Department of Education, but we also have significant funding programs that are managed by DHS. So they are child support programs that come for low-income families, and the responsibility basically of the department is to ensure that these families receive these funding, and they also have a responsibility to train child care providers. And between the two departments, they manage about close to $400 million. Senator Clausen is the author of the full-day kindergarten, which is has great support also in the Senate, and I presume in the House. One of the questions that we have been trying to figure out, you know, how to respond to is how do we prepare our children? How do we ensure that our kids receive the support that they need so that they will enter kindergarten ready to learn? And you alluded, all of you, in your testimony to the need to really put some emphasis into that. And we want to create a mechanism to have kind of a better understanding of how those dollars are being used, where do we have gaps, when do we engage parents, what programs are doing a good job of engaging parents, and how they connect with schools. Superintendent, I would like to have your opinion about this, and I know that some of the districts are moving in that direction anyway. They really want to have a better connection with early childhood programs. I don't want to put you in the spot, but cause since you haven't seen the legislation yet, but I just want your opinion about how do you see the early childhood system in terms of being coordinated or fragmented? We feel that it's very fragmented. We have, you know, about 27 programs that are all over the place, and we would like to do something about that.
You're absolutely right. In my opinion, the programs are fragmented. But there are things that school districts can do, and we are doing in our school district. For example, through Mr. Umhofer's programs, we're inviting preschool child care providers to participate in the programs that we offer. And what we're trying to do is create greater common knowledge and understanding of what it takes to be prepared for kindergarten. So I think we've identified 191 providers just within our school district, different providers within our school district, and we're trying to develop relationships with them so they're partners in their work helping kids get ready for our kindergarten program. So it's a lot of sharing information, validating the work that they do, not trying to steal business away from them or anything, but building a community collaborative mm-hmm. around this mission. And it takes more than just the school district. It takes all the private providers, the faith providers, and so forth. We can work collaboratively, and we've had just tremendous response from those providers to come in and take advantage of our programming that we make available to them. So we're getting closer to where we'd like to be, but it's a constant work to create that synergy within the community and total community commitment that early literacy, early childhood education, whether it's at home or through a private provider or a faith provider, is all important if it's aligned in helping kids get ready for kindergarten. I'm a strong advocate of early childhood education. I've started two early childhood programs in my career. I'm also a strong advocate of all-day, full-day kindergarten, and we are once again implementing full-day kindergarten in our school district this year. We're using compensatory funds to offset the cost for our low-income families, which right now is about 60% of our kindergarten students would have qualified for fee waivers or scholarships of some kind. In visiting with our kindergarten teachers, the extra time that they now have to work with children whose second language, who haven't had many prior experiences of any type at home, it is providing them the time, and they're feeling like they can do it now. Where before they were coming in for a half a day, 2.5 hours, and by the time the kids got settled down, it was time to get them dressed and put them back on the school bus again. They now feel like they can do the work that we've been asking of them. And we're seeing some real positive impacts already this year with our full-day kindergarten. So every child in our district gets full-day kindergarten, no cost. We made it optional for parents to opt out of that, and I don't believe a single parent opted out this year. And our enrollment went up 160 students from what we had projected it to be.
Thank you very much. Any questions, members? Senator Nelson.
Oh, thank you, Madam Chair. Senator Claussen and testifiers, I appreciated your comments about the importance of making sure that children are prepared and ready to learn when they come to kindergarten. And I think I heard one of you mention the importance of parents, and certainly parents are the first and most influential teacher. And so I certainly applaud the direction of this particular piece of legislation, but I'd like to... It appears, as I read it, though, that it's not adding more money
Correct.
To the system. It's actually allowing use of the existing funds for pre-K. And my question would be, maybe if Senator Claussen, if you might be – well, Madam Chair, might I ask you first, is this bill going to be laid over for possible inclusion, or are we sending it to the – what are we doing with this bill today?
Senator, we are going to refer this to finance because it is a change in the formula. So it will not change a target, so they are not it will not alter the target because it's not new money, but it will change the distribution.
Okay, thank you. So what I'm wondering – Senator Claussen, if maybe you might be able to, if you'd be willing to work with me on something that I'm actually taking from Chair Torres Ray's bill on the integration funding. And there's this important aspect of that bill which requires a report to the school board showing the results. And then also there's a really kind of a bit of a pay performance piece in there which talks about actually the funding's reduced a little bit if, in fact, the results are not there. And so, you know, I just sense in education particularly and in government in general at this point, we're very much about results And we can't just keep talking about inputs and what we put in. The real important thing is what comes out. Are our kids prepared to succeed in life, college and career ready when they get out of high school? And we all know that it starts with early literacy, and that starts before kindergarten. So I'm wondering, Senator Claussen, if maybe before you go to education, if you might be willing to, I could certainly offer an amendment today, but I'd rather work with you offline and look at some of the innovative things that Senator Torres Ray has in her integration bill, and maybe looking at if we can figure out a way to apply some of the results-driven pieces of that to maybe this concept as well.
Madam Chair, Senator Nelson, Clausen. I'd be very open to working with you on amendments and pursuing some of the things that you've discussed. Very much so.
Madam Chair.
Thank you. Thank you, Senator Nelson.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I think that would be better, far superior than, to me, just offering amendments at the table today. And so if we can work and try to get to that goal, that'd be great. So thank you. I won't bring any amendments today.
Very good.
Thank you, Senator Nelson. You know, I was having a conversation with my husband yesterday about these formulas, and I was trying to explain to him the different formulas that we have, and he said, I wonder why you guys really have to go through this exercise of determining these formulas if at the end, I think what you need to do is ask the districts whether or not they can be successful with the money you give. And I wonder if giving them through this, creating this process of formulas actually is an exercise for you, that a better exercise for you than it is for them. What he thought it was such a chaotic, difficult exercise. And I think this speaks to Senator Nelson's request. You know, at the end of the day, I don't know how we engaged in the conversation about creating all of these formulas, but the conversation is, can you accomplish what you want to accomplish with the resources that we are giving you? I think that's an important conversation for our committee, and we will continue the conversation for the next few years, because I do see a lot of proposals that are coming before us to change the way we do this, give you permission to use funding differently. So at the end, why is that we have all of these categorical funding if we are coming to ask us for permission to use it differently? I think that demands a discussion that we need to have during the interim and then come back. I know we have a lot of recommendations to change these formulas around, but the formulas are still there. So it's a very important conversation, and we need your input in that process. I think Senator Johnson is the one who keeps saying, you know, why is that we have all of this? Could we add some
just give
money to the pupil formula? But any other comments, members? Any other questions? Senator, if you would like to move your bill, we are going to refer this to the Finance Committee. So,
yes, Madam Chair, I move that the committee adopt Senate File 419 regarding compensatory revenue.
Thank you, Senator. So Senator Claussen moves the Senate File 419 be recommended to pass and be re-referred to the Finance Committee. All of those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Those opposed say no. The bill passes. Thank you, Senator. And we move now to Senate File 410, for which you also have an amendment. So, Senator, we're going to give you a chance to move the amendment first.
Get some water, Madam Chair.
Yes, absolutely.
Okay. Snug as a bug in this committee.
It's getting dry.
Yeah.
Members, do you have the A1 amendment?
Yeah.
Senator, please proceed to explain and move the A1 amendment.
Okay. For the record, My name is Greg Clausen. I'm a member of the Minnesota Senate representing District 57, which is Apple Valley, Rosemont, Coates, and Northeast Lakeville. We're here to take up Senate File 410, and we do have an amendment, Madam Chair. It is on page 2, line 26. I think you have it in front of you. Basically, it just clarifies some age limitations and eligibility.
Thank you. Any questions on these amendment, members? If not, Senator Clausen moves the A1 amendment. All of those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Those opposed say no. The amendment is adopted.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
Senator Clausen.
We're here today to seek your support for Senate File 410. It's a proposal to adopt standards for an adult high school diploma to be earned through local adult basic education programs. Those are commonly called ABE programs. Adult basic education programs are administered primarily through local community education programs. ABE provides programming in a number of areas, including General Education Development Diploma, or GED diploma, the adult diploma, basic skills enhancement, workplace literacy, English as a second language, family literacy, and citizen civics preparation. Nearly all ABE clients are low income, and last year over 73,000 adults were enrolled in programs throughout the state. I'd like to take up five main points to consider regarding the proposal for an adult high school diploma. Currently, there are no standardized adult diploma programs in Minnesota. Some ABE programs offer adult diploma programs, but because there are no statewide standards, not all educational institutions or employers will recognize a diploma. Many employers and educational institutions no longer accept the General Education Diploma, or the GED, and the military has placed a cap on the number of GED graduates they will accept, which limits opportunities for students that are working on their GED diploma. The General Education Development Test, or GED again, was recently acquired by a new company, and they have increased the cost of taking the test, which may be beyond the affordability of many low-income adults. I think basically in the state of Minnesota currently it's around $100, but through my research I looked at other states where it's upwards of $400 to take the GED. And for many ABE learners, a standardized test alone may not be a good way to measure skills. A standardized adult diploma would provide learners with an alternative. The bill directs the Commissioner of Education to adopt guidelines after considering recommendations from an advisory task force. They would establish an adult Minnesota high school diploma program. Senate File 410 will allow adult basic education participants to demonstrate proficiency in a set standard of competencies to ensure post-secondary programs, institution, potential employers, that the person holding a standard high school diploma and persons holding an adult high school diploma are equally prepared and qualified graduates. A 2012 task force sponsored by the Minnesota Department of Education and the Literacy Action Network explored the need for and recommended an adult high school diploma be made available. Senate File 410 and House File 477, if adopted, will implement the task force recommendations. And at this time, I'd like you to hear from Tom Citron Heistrom and Eric Lind. Tom is a member of the Minnesota Literacy Action Network Executive Board and serves as legislative chair. He is also a member of the St. Paul Community Literacy Consortium. And Eric Lind is the ABE manager for the Rosemont Apple Valley Eagan Public Schools. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you, Senator. Welcome to the committee.
Thank you, Madam Chair, committee members, Senator Clausen. As mentioned, I'm Tom Citron Heisem, and I serve as legislative chair for the Literacy Action Network. I'd like to talk today about two things. First, a very brief overview of adult basic ed, since I know that some of the committee members are new to the committee and may not know a lot about it. And then primarily talk a little bit about the details of this legislation. And then Eric will talk a little bit about how the proposal would benefit ABE learners. ABE provides literacy and basic skills education for low-skilled adults to help them become self-sufficient, and to participate effectively as workers, family members, and citizens. Our primary audience includes native-born Americans who, for whatever reason, dropped out of school somewhere along the line or possibly finished school and just didn't get very good basic skills, as well as new Americans who have limited English skills. Of Minnesota's 3.3 million working-age adults, over 250,000 have not completed high school or its equivalent, and over 60,000 speak little or no English. More than 346,000 earn less than a living wage, which is defined as twice the poverty level. The work we do in ABE is crucial in preparing low-skilled adults to help meet Minnesota's future labor needs. We're the only statewide educational program focusing on meeting the educational and occupational preparation needs of low-skilled Minnesotans. As Senator Claussen mentioned, last year we served over 73,000 adults. 38% of those were English language learners, 39% basic skills, 16% GED and diploma, and 7% were workforce occupational skill prep. We are funded largely by the state with some federal money. Just a word about some of our outcomes that we're kind of proud of. I want to brag a little bit. We have met our federally established targets in ABE more than any other state, and we feel very good about that. Minnesota has received WIA incentive grants in recognition of excellent outcomes in ABE and a couple of other related programs more than any other state, and we were one of only three states to receive those grants the last time they were granted. We also have had a steady increase in terms of our own outcomes. In terms of participants completing an educational level, it was 48% last year, up from 36% 5 years ago and 21% 10 years ago. So we have worked very hard at increasing the intensity of services and the quality of the instruction that we provide to help our learners meet their outcomes more quickly, efficiently, and adequately. A few of the major trends in ABE are greater intensity of service and persistence of learners, which helps lead to better outcomes, collaboration with DEED, workforce centers, and MNSCU to help our learners progress from one system to the other more efficiently, development of career pathways, including Fast Track and others, professional development, and distance learning. Now, a little bit about the diploma. The background was about 2 years ago, a statewide task force was convened at the request of the ABE staff at the Department of Education to examine alternative adult secondary diploma options. And there were a number of factors behind this, and these included the massive changes in the GED, shifts in workforce development increasing the need for high school diplomas, and the need for a diploma that was responsive to the specific life experiences, circumstances, and learning styles of adults. Because we know that adults learn very differently than high school students, and we need a credential that responds to and reflects those learning styles. We worked with several respected consultants to examine changing economic and educational needs and trends, career pathways, to look at what other states are doing, and what is needed in Minnesota. There would be three main areas assessed in order to obtain the adult diploma. The first would be academic skills, the second, personal and professional success skills, and the third, career readiness. What the diploma would accomplish are several things. First of all, it would provide consistent statewide standards. As mentioned, currently a few ABE programs provide an adult diploma. They make up their own standards. They're not consistent statewide. So how those diplomas are viewed by employers and higher educational institutions differs greatly. It'll be portable. We know that our students tend to move around a fair bit, so if you start working on a diploma in one location, you move somewhere else, you can take your work with you, what you've already accomplished, and continue on. It'll be responsive to the life circumstances and learning styles of adults. It will also help adults who desire to enter the military or pursue higher ed. The military right now accepts a very limited number of people with GEDs, so having an adult diploma for those people who wish to enter the military will make it much more of a possibility. It will align with workforce development efforts, and we hope that ultimately it will help reduce the need for developmental education within MNSCU as we begin addressing the multiple skill needs while preparing adults for the adult diploma. Why is this needed so badly? As I mentioned, many of the ABE programs do not offer an adult diploma. Last year, there were only 324 granted statewide, which is not very many given our total population. Accessibility is very inconsistent. One of the nice things, very nice things about our ABE formula is it's constructed in such a way that ABE services are available wherever you are in the state. Unfortunately, that does not at this point extend to the adult diploma, which is very spotty. So it really needs to be available statewide in a consistent manner. And Another thing is that recent federal changes have eliminated Pell Grants for those without a high school diploma. It used to be that you could enter a certificate program at a Minsky campus. If you were able to pass the first 6 hours, credit hours, successfully, you could then qualify for a Pell Grant to continue your education. The federal government made a change last summer. That's no longer the case. So if you don't have that diploma, even though you're able to do college-level work, there's no way to access student aid, which is a real problem for many of our learners. Just a word about what is happening elsewhere, because I know there's often concern about what other states are doing. States around the country are exploring various ways to provide adult secondary credentials. At least 10 are now offering alternative diploma pathways such as this, including GED alternatives, new forms of career pathways, and alternative secondary credentials. Many of them are looking at alternatives to the GED. Just as an aside, the GED was recently, had always been run by a nonprofit, was kind of sold to a for-profit company. They're making many, many major changes. The cost is going up. It's going to be much less accessible to our learners, many of whom didn't do well in school to begin with because they didn't do terribly well on standardized tests. So it's just sort of making a bad problem worse. Wisconsin actually is a leader in some of these things, working on a career pathway-based approach to adult diploma. There are now actually 5 different ways in Wisconsin that one can get an adult diploma. These include completing a competency-based program, attaining a certain number of post-secondary credits, and completing the GED plus additional work in health, civics, and career awareness. So we're very much in line with what other states are starting to do if this legislation were to pass. So we hope that you are able to look on this legislation favorably. And I'll now turn it over to Eric to talk a little bit about the impact on ABE learners if this were to become law.
Right. Thank you, Mr. Lind. Welcome to the committee.
Thank you, Madam Chair and committee members. My name is Eric Lind. I'm the ABE manager for the Rosemount Apple Valley Eagan School District. And I'm just going to briefly talk about some of the benefits for adult learners if this legislation passes. The main benefit would it expand the opportunity for adult learners to earn a diploma. Right now, the GED is the only option for many adult learners in this state, and many would rather get a diploma instead of a GED, but that can't always happen. Some programs don't have a GED or don't have adult program option, or others may have one. Like we have a credit recovery program where they can earn an actual high school, Apple Valley or Eagan High School diploma, but for students that had dropped out early or if they've come here from another country, that's not really realistic. It would mean possibly 4 years of school, 66 credits, trimester credits, and for small adult programs, we can't offer every possible requirement, and they're not always even relevant to what the adult learners need at that time. Secondly, the passing a GED is often a barrier for our students. Tom mentioned some of the reasons. Another thing is, you know, the reason some students dropped out in the first place, they may have learning disabilities. We have students that have come back to take the test. Right now there's 5 areas of the GED. They might pass 4 but have diagnosed learning disability in math and can't pass the math test. There's accommodations available, but there's no waivers possible. So if you do have a learning disability that might prohibit you from passing one area of a GED, there's no way around that right now. Also, there's just general test anxiety for many of our students and just have trouble with standardized tests their life, and that provides a barrier. Finally, the costs, especially with this new GED coming up at our site, the new GED will be double the cost of what the current paper and pencil test is. Secondly, the adult diploma provides an opportunity for adult earners to earn a diploma that is more relevant to what their needs are. We'd still have the academic skills, but would also include career readiness and personal and professional success skills. This would provide skills adult learners could apply directly to higher skilled jobs or to post-secondary training options that they might be applying for at technical colleges or community colleges. Also, right now, most of the adult programs getting people ready for GED is real focused on the skills to pass that GED test, and students are focused on just getting the skills they needed to pass the test, and once they have those skills to pass the test, they take the test and then they leave. If they have this motivation to actually earn an adult diploma, that I think that will provide more motivation to work beyond the minimum skills for the GED test, but expand into other skills that they're going to need for college or for other skills in their career beyond just the skills to pass the test. And finally, The adult diploma would draw on the wealth of the experience that adult learners bring into the classroom, their work experience, their life experience, their family experiences. And I think the recognition of this experience will help give the adult learners more confidence when they come back and something to build on as they learn new skills to move on in their life. So thank you very much, and I again encourage you to pass this legislation.
Thank you.
Madam Chair, just one additional comment, a little bit about the history of the GED. It actually was developed after World War II in response to the number of military personnel that would be coming home after the war whose education may have been interrupted or who perhaps never graduated from high school but had the GI Bill. And so the GED served a purpose going back several generations, and I think it's about time, as you've heard today, that we need to look at a new way of earning a high school diploma for adults. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you very much, Senator. Any questions for the testifiers or for Senator Clausen? Senator Johnson?
Senator Clausen, I think I missed it. It might have been the noise or what, but did you say only 324 diplomas were granted last year?
Madam Chair, Senator Johnson, that was the figure I was given by the Department of Education.
Mr. Citrin, sorry.
It's for GEDs or high school?
No, this was for adult diplomas. There were a little over 5,000, I believe, was the number of GEDs actually earned. And that reason for that is that at this moment, the GED is much more widely available, and whether programs offer adult diplomas or not is very spotty.
Okay. Thank you.
Any other questions, Senator Franzen?
Thank you, Madam Chair. I'm looking at the Senator Clausen at the second section of your bill where it talks about the advisory task force.
Yes.
And I was wondering, I'm looking at the composition of that task force, and one of the members is one from the Minnesota Chamber of Commerce. And I'm not sure if we've had similar task force that includes a member of a business or potential stakeholder that is not, quote-unquote, maybe some of your regular suspects, like the, MNSCU, you have DEED, Department of Education. Can you elaborate why that's included in your bill?
Yes,
Senator
Madam
Clausen.
Chair,
mm-hmm.
Senator Franzen, because we're working with adult learners, we thought it would be important to have a member of the chamber to talk about the workforce needs. And so we hope to get feedback through that representation on the panel that could provide that insight to the needs of Minnesota companies and businesses.
Thank you.
Can I follow up,
Senator Franzen?
Thank you, Madam Chair. And the reason I ask is I know there's other organizations that have similar backgrounds. So, you have Minnesota Business Partnership and others that might want to engage. So I don't want to be exclusive if what you're looking for is that type of expertise, and calling out one member of that group you just get one perspective.
Senator Clausen.
Madam Chair, Senator Franzen, that's a very good point, and we'd certainly be open to a friendly amendment to look at that, definitely.
Thank you, Senator, and maybe the department may have some recommendations as they have dealt with task forces in this area, or Mr. Citrin, about how we can connect to the in a meaningful way with the business community. Who would be you want a number that you can work with? You don't want a task force that is too big, but on the other hand, you do want good representation from our partners to make sure that they bring their perspective. So that I think that would be a good idea. Senator Nelson?
Thank you, Madam Chair. Senator Clausen, thank you for bringing this this good bill before us. And what I thought I might like to just share with the committee is the mission of adult basic education. I just think it says it so well. The mission of ABE in Minnesota is to provide adults with educational opportunities to acquire and improve their literacy skills necessary to become self-sufficient and to participate effectively as productive workers, family members, and citizens. And I think that's what this bill does. We know in this committee, and we know all across Minnesota, that you have to have a high school diploma to get a job in today's world. And so I really think this is a move in the right direction to make sure that all of our ABE graduates are able to get that diploma. And I also like the fact that it's competency-based here. And I also appreciate your close working with the employer community, because that is the goal, to make sure that our adults are able to get those jobs and be self-sufficient. So I just really want to applaud you on moving this bill forward.
Thank you. Senator Closen?
Yes, thank you, Senator Nelson. And it should be noted, too, that the Rochester Public Schools have developed an adult high school diploma, and they're probably one of the leaders in the state and can provide some input as hopefully this task force moves ahead.
Madam Chair, if I might
yes.
add to that,
yes, Mr. Senator.
The ABE manager from Rochester was one of the members of the task force, statewide task force, that helped develop this preliminary proposal. So she was very helpful, and we look forward to continued input for that good program.
Thank you, Mr. Citron. Senator Kent.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And Senator Clausen, I also want to agree. I think this is an important initiative, and I want to express my appreciation for
you
bringing this forward. And Senator Rood and I are working on the alignment of secondary to post-secondary in terms of making sure that we're moving this forward into the workforce development piece. And I think this is a critical component for a group that's falling through the cracks here. So thank you.
Yeah.
And look forward to working with you to
thank
keep
you.
This together.
Very good point. Thank you.
Thank you, Senator Kent. I so much appreciate that comment. During the interim, now and during the interim, we're going to do a diligent effort to really work very closely with all the organizations and the different responsible entities for adult basic education, because we have a significant group that we need to pay attention to, and this is under the jurisdiction of this committee. So we need to review how cuts have impacted you, what are some of the trends that we see in Minnesota, what are some of the good practices that are being implemented, like Rochester is doing some incredible work, and just kind of learn from that and see where do we need to go as a state in terms of supporting that. So we will welcome an invitation to Rochester during the interim to learn more about what is happening.
Madam Chair,
I hear more and more about some of the significant innovative practices that are taking place in Rochester, so we need to be invited and just review that.
Yes, thank you, Madam Chair.
Any other comments, members? If not, Senator, could you move your bill?
Yes. Thank you, Madam Chair, members of the committee.
Senator, excuse me, I believe that there is another question. Senator?
Madam Chair, just wondering if we'd like to take up my previous comment, Mr. Senator Clausen, whether we'd like to add a change now or maybe work on something after the fact. I'm not sure if it's going to be this
so,
bill's
Senator,
move to
this, actually, that portion of the bill has to be reviewed by state and local government because it's a task force. Mm-hmm. So that would be the perfect time for you to just kind of do that amendment. So if you could work with Senator Clausen on preparing something, and we will take it in that committee. So this will be referred to state and local government.
Hey, Madam Chair, I'll work with the senator on that. Mm-hmm.
Thank you, Senator Clausen. We will appreciate if you and Senator Franson could work on that. So Senator Clausen moves that Senate File 410, as amended, be recommended to pass and re-refer to state and local government. All of those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed say no. The bill is passed. Thank you, Senator, and thank you to the testifiers. Members, I have been told that some of your files are too heavy to carry, so our staff doesn't have room in that little cart that they move for us. So if you could empty your folders, we would very much appreciate it, and just leave what you need for future meetings. If you don't have any further questions, we will adjourn for today. Thank you.
Thank you so much, because you're very good at
the walk home.
Hey, so what did you decide on that?
What's he doing?
Thought I'd check in with you. Okay. I will stop by.
Like schedule me in for like 15 minutes.
I'm looking like this is physically to go.
No.
successful.
Over, right? Yeah. Ooh, sorry.
Although I did have a great.
And guys.
And I'm not. You know, I feel bad for the kids.
You said two cameo appearances by some.
I never met. I was just out in the hall
I'll be up in a while. I got about three texts.
If
Margaret Kelleher, if she can see me right now, that would be.
I saw the longest that works with her.
Absolutely, Doug Carnival. Yeah, if they could and the others, that would be a real. Yeah, right away. Yeah. I'll be up there in 10 minutes.
We're going to have a minute, about four or five minutes. That sounds good.
Yeah, I'll be right with you. I just back to a constituent right now.
Okay, yep. Great.
I'd have to say that those are such great folks. Still have people.
Yeah, it was good.
Yes, I need 5 minutes.
I'm sorry.
I'm trying to get back to the constituent.
Okay.
So we don't even have to worry about it.
Thanks for having me, Bill.
Thank you.
Yeah, and it's the house tomorrow, so. Yeah, I think the same group is coming back tomorrow.
Especially when you have a group of people. Yeah, that's right.
And there's something that's at least a little unclear, and I don't know whether you meant it that way or not, but something.
No, I think he's fine.
Let's see here. So we're looking at 419.
Just a quick.
If you have an organization, then it's a wider perspective.
I kind of work with him in assessments. Latest assessment bill, the same language as about the task force. So I'm going to, I think they were trying to cover all the bases. I'm going to ask Brian. I don't think our bill needs to be quite so big, but I'm glad to see it.
I wondered this. This new language in the building allocation sort of implies that the additional 5% reserve would be allocated to a certain school site, but it doesn't specifically say so. So it would be possible for a district to read this new language and say. The district sort of reserves 5% of compensatory revenue for this purpose, but it doesn't necessarily have to assign it back to a school site. So if you intended for this additional 5% to be allocated to a specific site, according to some plan adopted by the school board, we would probably need to be... Be a little bit more specific.
I think, again, what we were saying is giving them local control on that, and they could decide how they want to use that.
So the board...
I mean, it would have to be used for under the guidelines of compensatory education.
At a site or at a district level?
It could be
either.
Either.
Okay, then
either or.
Then we can just leave it like
okay.
It is. Yeah. Yeah, there, I'll just give you this. I mean, this is what Jason, the assistant advisor, noted, that if they reserved an additional 5%, it seems obvious that the sort of site level allocations would have to be reduced proportionally.
Didn't have to pull 5%.
Yeah, 5% out of the each site. But that this five, as it's written now, this 5% wouldn't necessarily have to go back into sites. It could be retained. Okay, that's what you intend.
Yep.
Great.
Because it could be used for district wide.
Right. Right. Yeah.
Also, some rest.
Yeah. Great.
Thank you.
Matt. Yeah. He intended it.
So I'm like, why are we doing them a favor? You know?
Yeah, you're right.
I'm like, I have a beef calling them out. I don't mind them mentioning at the end of the meeting. I just call them out.
Yeah. Again, right. Name them in the bill.
Who are you? Okay. Knock on your door.
Sorry.
Or, my husband is challenging.
Thank you. Ever did to me on a form, you know, where you're up there with the other team, you know how they ask questions. The one on the team, instead of moving it to the next person, you have me answer
the first one.
And my opponent sitting next to me, and he crushed it more time to hear what I said.
Yeah. So.
At the next chamber I went to, they started the same thing, and I said, I think it's Senator Elector.
It's
the
team. I have about 20 glasses, and I want them to
sure.
So I'm just trying to it's
not
our
turn. No, I think that's a good point. Sometimes you don't think of everything.
Oh, no, no. And then we were talking, we can word it so many different ways. But I think this is. Keep it open.
Will do.
With regard to
the
district, you are somehow
of cookies. Like,
Girl Scouts.
I know. I have cookies in a box. Like individual cookie boxes. Thank you. I saw that.
Yeah.
I double checked.
Did you go back? Did you go back to your clients and say, Jim Grandpa, where is his bomb?
I haven't sent it to them yet.
Oh, I'll do that. please do that. So it excludes as does the governor's budget.
I think it needs to be objective. There's so many
So forth.
I might have to finish this conversation later. I think I need to get
right. I'll finish you now.
I'm just wondering what the charters are in effect. Is that kind of, if we just, anticipating how they see it.
Perfect.
Are they just going to say, oh, my God.
So, I don't know.
It's kind of normal. I just want everyone to live in kind of the same universe where special ed kids have a special ed consumption and under the law, and they export that person. So we're paying
right. Well, how do you get the equity issue, the fairness issue? I'm just trying to
change it.
It's an excellent
question. What's that?
I think I've got everything now.
Biggest question.
so dry. And there's no water.
So we live here.
This is just a neighborhood. It was just so dry.
You can